Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to the presentation of consolidated results for the F&M Group as of March 2022. Let me remind you that all participants are in listening mode only. At the end of the initial presentation, you'll have an opportunity to ask your questions. To receive assistance from an operator during the conference call, please digit star followed by zero. Now, I give the floor to Ms. Valeria Minazzi, Head of Investor Relations. Ms. Minazzi, the floor is yours. Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for tuning in for our audio web presentation for consolidated results of the F&M Group for the first quarter 2022. Ms. Montanari, Group CFO, and myself will introduce consolidated results of the F&M Group for the first quarter 2022. At the end of the presentation, you'll have an opportunity to ask your questions. I now give the floor to Ms. Montanari. Thank you, Valeria, and thank you all of you for tuning in to our call on the results of Q1 2022. During the first quarter, the group has not have any change in terms of its consolidation scope. If you agree, I would immediately move to the economic and financial highlights. We're here to show you both reported and pro forma data, and we will be presented two homogeneous quarters. Milano Serravalle and Milano Tangenziali will be consolidated starting as of January 1st, 2021. In reported data, the consolidation of Mesa happened starting from February 26th, when we acquired the company. As far as pro forma data, the revenues are growing by 17.4%, going from 116.4 in quarter one to 136.6 in this quarter. Reported data, quarter one, 86.7 in 21 versus 136.6 in 22, up 57.6%. EBITDA, 44.4 million, as opposed to 35.4 in the same quarter last year pro forma, 23.6 reported. EBIT, 23.2 million, growing from 15.9, up almost 46% pro forma, and up 125% for reported data. Net profit is positive, 15.5 million versus 11 million in quarter one 2021, up almost 41%. As far as reported data, adjusted net profit was 6 million in the last quarter 2021. As far as net profit, total net profit, including also the results of our subsidiaries at equity level, we are at 3 million versus 2.5 million in the negative territory in first quarter 21. Net financial position, 799.6%, increasing as compared to the net financial position as of December 31st, 2021, which was 755.6. During the presentation, we will be explaining the reasons behind. Our credit rating has not changed in this quarter as compared to last year. I now give the floor to Ms. Minazzi, who will go into some more details for the different segments and the different business. Thank you very much, Valentina. Quarter one 2021 compares to the first quarter in 2021, when the situation of the pandemic was much worse, characterized by closures that had hampered travels, and during that time, passengers were not actually taking transport means. They were at home, working from home, and also studying from home. This is not the case during this quarter, This thanks to the positive effect of the vaccination campaign and also because the virus is now slowly turning into a less severe disease. However, during the first 2 months of the year, we had Omicron a variant hitting the country, and this led to some reduction in traffic flows. As far as the different segments, so we can say that as far as bus transport is concerned, we've had a total of passenger of 14 million passengers. This is up compared to quarter one in 2021, so up by 32%. However, this level is still below quarter one 2019. We see that more subscription are being sold compared to tickets. As far as motorway traffic during quarter one 2022, 634.4 minute vehicles per kilometer. 150 is heavy vehicles. This is up by 4% compared to quarter one 2019. So this confirms that this segment is particularly strong and resilient. As far as light vehicles are concerned, they are at 484.1 million vehicles per kilometer. This again is up compared to quarter one 2021, but still below quarter one 2019. Overall, the quarter has enjoyed a 35.2% growth compared to quarter one in 2021, but it's still 10% below quarter one in 2019. APL. Once again, we see good growth quarter over quarter. It's up by 40.6%. We see 2.4% more compared to quarter one in 2019. This means that APL is really recouping compared to pre-pandemic levels. As far as Trenord is concerned, we have reached 32.7 million passengers in Q1 2022, up 94.6% as opposed to quarter one 2021, which had been dramatically impacted by the pandemic. However, this is well below quarter one 2019, down 43.1%. Once again, subscriptions are growing faster than the sales of tickets. We should also note more traffic during the holidays. Next slide, which is page 6. There isn't a lot to say about this slide. We see some continuity vis-a-vis the early days of last year. We shouldn't forget the Omicron variant effect in January and February, which had some impact on demand. Let's now move to slide number 7. Here you have an overview of the economic performance of each segment, by segment. You see that at global level, growth is driven by good mobility demand, a pickup in mobility demand, and also by the increase of motorway tolls, which went up by 2.72% starting as of the 1st of January 2022. So revenues went up by 17.4%, and and EBITDA went up 25.5%. EBITDA has been positively affected both by the motorway businesses. It was impacted negatively by Rosco and by road passenger mobility. This was due mainly by the revenues composition, and it was also due to loss of revenues due to the pandemic, and also by the negative impact of cost energy costs increase. Now, let's move on to slide number 8, where you have some more details about each segment. Well, first of all, rail infrastructure. This segment enjoyed an increase by 2.2 million in revenues, which is now 33.2 million in quarter one of 2022. This is mainly due to higher leasing revenues on the rolling stock, given in use to Trenord by Regione Lombardia. So this is up in line with the fleet expansion. This is also matched by an analogous increase in costs. Another factor in the increase of revenues is the higher service revenues for design activities and also relating interventions and the rolling stock, which are financed by Regione Lombardia, and is in line with the progress of work orders. But there is also an increase of other revenues from higher rents, commercial activities, and sale of residual stock. So 2.1 million euros of growth. EBITDA went up by up to 2.6 million euros. This is mainly due to higher revenues, which is compensated for by higher costs, cost of maintenance, and also rolling stocks or infrastructure design. There is also an increase in expenses related to utilities and also information technology services. As far as the Rosco and services segment, well, we see that revenues go down from 19.1 down to 18.8% in the first quarter 2022. This lower revenue, as it was the case again in 21, depends on the rolling stock leasing due to the renewal of leasing contracts on TAF and Corradia. This has been partially compensated for by new leasing contracts on new rolling stocks, specifically some locomotives and also Tilo trains that have been leased to Trenord. This trend has been partially compensated for by higher proceeds from service contracts and also IT services to group companies. We should also note that in quarter one 21, there were 0.3 million euros worth of sales, and this is the sale of a building, and of course this was not repeated again in 2022. All of this translates into a decreasing EBITDA. It goes from 12.6 million to 11 million. This EBITDA reduction is mainly due to headcount increase and also to higher operating costs. And there are also more headcounts plus 6 FTEs and also higher operating costs due to the development of new projects, including the H2Iseo project and the Fili project. We also had to bear the startup costs of the FNM Pay. As far as the other two businesses, and this is on page 9, so as far as the road passenger mobility, we see an increase quarter on quarter by 5.1 million euros, from 28.4 to 33.5 million euros. This is mainly due to higher revenues, higher ticketing. This has to do with transport services. This is mainly due to more additional services that have been provided in order to guarantee social distancing, which was still in place during quarter one 2022. But it is also a higher number of passengers. We shouldn't forget the demand went up, and there is also a good impact of car sharing services. This positive trend has been set off by fewer revenues coming from government support, and more specifically, the aid that had been granted for the COVID pandemic. During quarter one 2022, we had 3.3 million worth of government grants compared to 3.5 million in the first quarter 21. Compensation for lost revenues were 3.5 million, as I said, and these were not there in the first quarter. As far as the contribution for additional services, in quarter one it was 1 million and it were 2.9 million in 2022. However, this aid is also compensated for by the higher costs that we had to incur, and therefore they have no effect on margins. We also received other aids, 0.4 million, for other activities that had to be borne for tourist-related activities. As far as EBITDA is concerned, EBITDA is going down by 1.2 million euros. This decrease in the EBITDA is mainly due to higher costs. These costs are due to fuels, methane and gasoline. This went up, so the cost of fuels increased. And we should also bear in mind that more kilometers have been covered. There was also higher costs for additional services and also higher personnel expenses. Now let's move on to motorways. In this case, revenues went up to 60.6 million euros, and they were 46 million in the first quarter 2021. This higher tolling revenues is mainly due to more traffic going up, and also it was mainly due to tariff increases starting on January the 1st, 2022. This was up 2.62%. There were also higher revenues from service areas, and this was thanks to the renewal of some contracts at more favorable economic conditions. As far as EBITDA is concerned, it went up by 11.9 million from 18.2 to 30.1. And this is mainly due to higher revenues, and this despite higher operating costs, concession fees, collection fees, and also energy consumption. There were higher costs also for contractual adjustments related to planned maintenance and repairs. However, we had a lower labor cost. Let's now move on to slide number 10. This briefly described the performance of our two major companies that are consolidated in equity value. Trenord. Trenord, positive results for Trenord, particularly for revenues and EBITDA. EBITDA went up by 17 million euros quarter on quarter. This is mainly due to a recovery of traffic and also thanks to higher revenues from service agreement and also because of higher costs to this service agreement. However, there was a decrease in other revenues due to the fact that during the first quarter 2021, we had government compensation to tackle the pandemic, and this was 21.9 million euros. These are not there during the first quarter 2022. EBITDA, therefore, enjoys this increase in revenues, which is partially offset by higher personnel costs and also higher costs of services. EBIT goes from 36.2 million to 31.8 million, and this is mainly due to a slightly lower amortization, and the net result is 31.4 a quarter in 2022, as opposed to 25.6 million euros in the first quarter 2021. This is mainly due to less deferred taxed assets. These were much higher in 2021. They were some 11 million euros. Slide number 11 now, where you have some data concerning APL, which again had a positive performance. Revenues were 4.8. Traffic went up 41%, and there were no tariffs increase. EBITDA went up by 31 million euros due to traffic increase and also fewer costs, particularly operating and personnel costs. EBIT goes from 1.2 to 3.3 million euros, and this is mainly due to higher financial charges. Net result -1.3 to -1.5 in the first quarter 2022. This one is mainly due to higher financial charges. This is mainly due to higher financial charges on the bridge loan to 3%, and this is also linked to the higher financial charges on the senior one loan that was used for the tranche B2 and C of the Pedemontana motorway. Let's now move on to page 12. EBITDA has no one-off items, so no great difference between EBITDA and EBITDA adjusted. Amortizations went slightly up, and this is mainly due to some investments in the motorway, 23.2 million euros. Financial charges, 2.4, lower than the previous quarter. It was 2.8 million euros. This improvement is mainly due to the issuing of the bond, which has more beneficial financial charges as opposed to the bridge loan that we had in the first quarter. Taxes up 5.3 million compared to 2.1 million. This is mainly due to higher income. Adjusted net result is 15.5 million compared to 11 million in the same quarter in 2021. This is partially compensated for by the results of companies consolidated at equity, Trenord and APL. The net group results is 3 million euros. We had a loss during the first quarter 2021, which was a loss of 2.5 million euros. Slide 13. Here you have a description of the main CapEx that we had in the first quarter 2022. On the right side of the slide, we have highlighted with different colors the CapEx that have been paid, and these are mainly for core businesses. These are these have an impact on our cash flow. As you can appreciate, 19.4 million euros have been paid by our own assets. 8.9 million euros is CapEx in the motorway business. 6.5 million euros is Rosco. 0.5 is infrastructure, railway infrastructure. And finally, 3.5 million is road transport mobility. Let me also point out that we have 41.1 million euros. This is mainly due to railway infrastructure. We're talking about CapEx that have been paid, but this will be reimbursed by Regione Lombardia. You can see it's quite a sizable amount, and this is mainly due to the fact that we are still waiting for the payment by Regione Lombardia. Usually, the payment comes a bit later, so we are expecting this cost to be fully covered in the coming months. Then in the dotted areas, you have 37.8 million euros. This is cash outflows for trains that have been bought by Ferrovie Nord on behalf of Regione Lombardia, but they have no impact on the adjusted net financial position. Now, I would move to slide 14, which is the consolidated cash flow. You can see that the quarter has been characterized by a cash flow absorption, 25 million. This is mainly due to a negative variation of the working capital. We had to pay some suppliers for the trains that had been bought by Regione Lombardia, these 25 million euros. And then we have 60.5 million worth of investments that we have paid, and this is mainly due to these are investments in railway infrastructure done on behalf of Regione Lombardia, and this is the amount we are expecting to be paid by Regione Lombardia in the coming weeks. Now, let's move on to page 15. This is the adjusted net financial position from 755.6 million in 2021. You have the cash flow, 41.2. You also have IFRS 16, 2.8, which brings us to an adjusted net financial position of 799.6 million. The net financial position is 779 million euros, without considering the cash, which has to do with the purchase of the train by Regione Lombardia, which is not included in the adjusted net financial position. Page 16. On page 16, you have the breakdown of the gross debt. Gross debt is 998.9 million euros. 21% is banking loans, the rest is the bond. You should also notice that the Mise net financial position is 113.7 million euros. It was 123.4 last quarter. If you look at the gross debt maturity, 84% is a non-current portion, and then 16% is a current portion. The 4.4 years is the remaining duration. Interest rate composition, 81% fixed rate, 19% variable rate. Average cost of debt is 1.33%. The company has a liquidity headroom with available uncommitted credit line worth 131 million euros. Now, page 17, this is the debt maturity. You know them very well, net of what has been already paid back during the first quarter. Now I will give the floor back to Valentina, who will be talking about the fiscal year 2022 outlook.
Thank you very much. At the end of the first quarter, we confirm the outlook we had described when we presented the annual figure for 2021. I will make a distinction again between reported data and pro forma data. As far as revenues are concerned, we post a growth between 10% and 15%, both reported and pro forma. Adjusted EBITDA reported, the guidance is +20%, and on a pro forma basis, the guidance is within a range between 10% and 15%. The adjusted EBITDA margin is slightly increasing, both pro forma and reported data. Adjusted net financial position will be between 750 million and 800 million, and the adjusted net financial and the EBITDA will be almost 4x. It was 4.5x back in 2021. This is the end of our presentation, and we have some time for your questions, if you have any. We'll be happy to answer.
This is the Chorus Call operator. We are now starting the Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. To leave the question queue, please press star followed by two. Please use your phone to ask your questions. If you want to ask a question, please press star followed by one now. The first question is by Stefano Gamberini, Equita SIM.
Good evening, and thank you very much for the presentation. I have three questions. The first one has to do with higher maintenance costs for the motorways segment. This could further increase given the current scenario, and I'd like to understand to see what's the situation with the regulators. A few days ago, I read an article where they were saying that the regulators do not allow for tariff increases due to higher costs. I'd like to understand whether for MISE you are expecting this cost increase and what's the situation with the regulator. Do you have any update on the new tariffs? The same question also for APL. What are the risks there, and what about the financing line? Are you expecting higher operating costs for the new tranches, for the building of the new tranches? If so, how are you going to manage those higher costs? Who will be bearing those higher costs? Any update? Can you tell us anything about any delay? I again read another article on Il Sole 24 Ore, and they were talking about some delays and the opening up in 2025. Trenord, you did not get any government aid, if I understood. I think Valeria also said that you didn't have aid also for the road passenger business. In one case, we have fewer energy costs. Again, I'd like to understand what kind of government aid that you have included in your guidance, and is this guidance at risk given the fact that unfortunately the scenario is worsening? Finally, I have another question concerning the decision by the Regione Lombardia to vote against the dividend during the general assembly. Have you discussed this with your shareholders? Why are they against the
board of directors' decision, and what else can you say, and what did you say about this decision by Regione Lombardia?
Well, thank you. I think Valeria should start answering your questions, and then I will join in with some additional remarks. As far as maintenance costs, we know that very well, and we are working on it. We are trying to understand what the possible impact will be. Right now, it's a bit too early to discuss the effects. As I said, we're working there, we're keeping a sharp eye, and once the impact is clear, we will be ready to share the information with you. As far as the government aids, as you know very well, in our guidance, we have not included for the consolidated companies, particularly road passenger business, we've not included government aids for 2022. There is something for 2021, but nothing for 2022. So we're not considering that as a way to set off lost revenues. As far as Trenord is concerned, our guidance includes government aids in line with what we received last year. Maybe we have been a little bit more prudential. In 21, we included over 98 million euros worth of government aids. This year, we have 90% of those. We've been quite cautious on that front. So far, we have not included government aids due to higher fuel costs, and this because there is still a lot of uncertainty, and therefore we think it's not fair to include government aids that might not come in. As far as the increase in tariffs for MISE, there are no indications from the regulators. The regulatory time period is about to end, and we have applied a 2.62 tariff increase as of the beginning of the year. For the next stage, no indications have been provided by the regulators. As far as Pedemontana is concerned, again, there is a PEF, and this allows the company which reached which achieved the contract there is a company which was granted the contract, and they're about to start. As far as the guidance is concerned, as Valeria said, we did not include the government aids in our figures. We have considered the increase of energy, raw materials. We are keeping a sharp eye on the situation. We are monitoring the situation. We want to see how the situation will evolve. The first quarter was in line with our own expectations. We might need to do something and be more cautious. However, right now, we can confirm our guidance, our assessment has confirmed that the guidance we produced is the right one. As far as the dividend is concerned, we know that Regione Lombardia decided to vote against for cautious reasons of caution. As we had declared for the strategic plan, we confirmed that we would like to pay out a dividend for the next operating years. Thank you. The next question is by Luca Bacoccoli, Intesa Sanpaolo.
Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we do.
The first question takes me is again about the dividend, and should we expect a smaller dividend? So do you think the board will suggest a smaller dividend, and this in the light of the Regione Lombardia decision? Then I have another question. Motorways and Mise. You explained that there were some headcount reduction during the first quarter. Should we interpret this headcount reduction as something temporary? Is this a temporary measure, or is it there to stay for the rest of the year? And if so, are you expecting important savings because of this reduction of the labor costs? And again, on Mise, if we look at the traffic trends for Autostrade per l'Italia, during Q1, there's been an improvement of the traffic from January to March, and this went on also in April. So my question is, have you seen something similar yourself? Thank you. As to the dividend, right now we are not envisaging any dividend reduction as opposed to what was described during the plan. As to the Mise, I think Valeria is best placed to answer. The headcount reduction has not to do with structural reasons, so there's nothing to say there. As far as traffic trends, I can confirm that also for Mise, we saw what other players noticed, meaning a good improvement during Q1, and this increase also continued in April. The same thing holds true also for the passenger road traffic and for Trenord as well. Oh, since I have the opportunity, I'd like to ask another question concerning cost trends and inflation, particularly when it comes to energy. If I got you right, you are closely monitoring the evolution of these cost items, and I'd like to know what you would do in case of a worsening of these energy costs. Do you have any efficiency opportunity? Can you reduce costs in order to compensate for an energy cost increase? Right now, it's too early to answer to this question. As I said, we are monitoring the situation, and we will give you an update in the next month. Ms. Minazzi, Ms. Montanari, right now there are no other questions. Thank you. I think we can close our webcast, and of course we remain available to answer questions from you if you have, and I hope to see you again for the next call, the half year result call, early August. Good evening and have a nice weekend.